And a very good Sunday morning to you. This is Local Issues, Real People, a public affairs broadcast of Piedmont Communications. I'm your host, J.D. Slade. And Local Issues, Real People is brought to you every week by Rappahannock Electric Cooperative, REC, reliable, affordable, and focused on community. All right, we're still in the month of November, and my guest this morning is back from Heroes Bridge. I'm talking about CEO Molly Brooks. Good morning, Molly.
Good morning. Glad to be back.
I am glad to have you back, too, because when you were here a little over a year ago, you started to hint on something, and it's like, and you couldn't really say too much because it's like you just weren't waiting for everything to fall into place. Things are starting to get better, aren't they?
Yeah. The project's coming together nicely. I think we're ready to talk a little bit deeper about it.
All right. Let's start talking about the project.
Yeah. So Heroes Bridge works with veterans that are 65 and older. And we do a lot of work kind of being a friend to them, helping them with things. But I founded the organization 6 years ago, and I never expected for the number two issue to be housing issues.
Why is that? Is it because that they can't work or they can't afford it, or...
I think the two things we see the most often are, the first thing is older people that have kind of aged out in their own homes. They aren't able to keep up with things, and the home is literally kind of falling down around them. That's hard, and a lot of our veterans don't have family around them to help with those things. So that's one issue. And we do go in and do what home repairs we can through Heroes Bridge, through our generous supporters. The other thing that we see, and I think this one's a little more often, is seniors that are living on only Social Security. So people think that veterans get a check from the VA, and it's actually a very small percentage of veterans that actually gets financial support from the VA. So we have a lot of older veterans that are living only on their Social Security check, and that, you know, can be anywhere from $1,100 to $1,500. And if you look at rents in this area, it's hard to even find a place anymore for $1,100.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
So, again, this has got to break your heart, because it's like if you've got a veteran who, or somebody who's called and said, I've got this veteran here, his house is falling apart. There's really no repairing to it because it's already past the point of no return.
Yep.
How do you deal with that?
Well, so when we determine that a situation can't be remediated because it's just so far gone, or it's a landlord. So what happens when the veterans are renting places that are so expensive, they rent the very cheapest kind of hole in the wall, broken down trailer that they can find. When we can't remediate situations for landlords. So in those two situations, we at Heroes Bridge really begin to talk about how do we stop putting a Band-Aid on these housing situations. And we started looking at this tiny house movement across the country. A lot of people have probably seen on Facebook the tiny house villages that are being used in different parts of the country. Sometimes they use it to address homelessness or other issues. We visited some around the country, and we thought, even though our veterans aren't technically homeless, wouldn't it be an amazing model to build a small village that in these situations that can't be remediated, they could be offered a small, clean, safe place to live?
And this is just it. It's a place for you and your space, but it's yours.
Yeah. So our design, and I guess we'll get into kind of what the place and what the features of it will be. Our design looks like the units are going to be about 500 square feet, which we think our seniors are happy. They don't want these big houses that they can't take care of.
That's anymore. The whole idea of getting older, because it's like I say, you got all this space in here, and it's like as we get older, and it's like, and I've learned this, I'm downsizing. It's like I'm not carrying a lot of junk. It's like it's going in the trash. I'm not going to put it in that corner. I'll get to it later.
Yeah.
Because it's amazing how much stuff you can gather. But 500 square feet, if it's managed right, is perfect.
Right, right. So we're super excited. We did start this vision about 2 years ago, and I think the first year we just did a lot of learning. These are serious projects. I think that, you know, there's kind of this fever around tiny homes, and we didn't want to do that. We wanted to be very thoughtful, very intentional with what we were building. So the first year we did a lot of learning, a lot of exploring. The last year, since I visited last time, we've tried to do a lot of the finding the right place for it. So I think anywhere in America, there's a lot of discussion around land use and what you can build where. But I think in this kind of beautiful area right outside of Washington, D.C., the land use fights can get pretty intense about what you can build where.
Oh, yeah, especially historical sites.
Yeah. So we again, wanted to be thoughtful with the community, and we went around to a lot of community groups and to our government officials about, you know, what are your thoughts? Do you like this idea? And where would you like to see this type of project go? So we've been having a lot of those discussions, again, a lot of learning over the last year, and then also starting to raise some funds for the village.
Okay, so let's just take a quick peek here. If you're investing in this, in this house, how much are you talking about investing for the one unit?
It's looking like the units are going to be about $60,000 a piece to build. The way we've envisioned this is they will be rentals for the veterans, but what we're calling deeply affordable rentals, where the average rent in some areas and in the Piedmont are, you know, $1,200 to $1,500 for a one-bedroom apartment. We're hoping to be in the $600 to $800 range.
Which, of course, is going to be a great incentive right off the bat.
Yeah. And we're also, my long years in nursing and gerontology really tried to think about what else would make these units in this village special. On the price point, the reason I can't quite say what the rent will be yet is we are hoping to include all of the utilities that we possibly can. So with these seniors that are on very low fixed incomes, what we see is 1 month they'll pay the rent, but they can't afford to pay anything else. And then the next month they'll try to pay the electric and the water and the phone, and then they can't afford to pay their rent. So we thought, why can't we just bundle everything into the lowest price point we can get, and then everything is taken care of with one bill?
No, it's interesting because back in 1975, I was going over to Stanton, a radio station over there, and the company owned an apartment complex. So it's like, you know, again, I got my apartment, I got a one-bedroom apartment, all utilities, $125 a month.
Wow, you know, good deal, JD.
Hey, you know, again, of course, I didn't work for the company very long, but anyway, but the point is that it's possible. It is possible to bring down into affordable units so that people don't have to have culture shock as soon as they see the price.
Right, right. We're really excited about that. Another thing that we're building into the village is a small community center, and with a lot of what we're calling supportive services. Another thing that I think happens with seniors is there's this weird missing middle care of seniors. You don't need assisted living. You don't need nursing home, but you're starting to need just a few things. Maybe help ordering your groceries or remembering to refill your medications. Perhaps it's hard to get to the doctor because you can't drive anymore. So we're in that community center. We're going to have a small physician's room, a senior library with battle buddies that are there to help order the groceries from Walmart. We have a van already, and we'll be giving rides and transportation to different things. And I think that's what's missing in some senior apartments are those supportive services. I think seniors would be able to age in place a lot better if they had just a few things built into the community.
And it sounds to me like, I mean, I'm just sort of looking at this as one big plot of land with all these little units in it and the community center right in the middle. And it's like just it is a village.
Well, I can't wait to show you the drawings. We're actually having our third meeting with engineers and architects tomorrow afternoon. So we saw the preliminary. We kind of wanted a few things adjusted. They went back and they're showing us that tomorrow. I can't wait to share the drawings with you and with the community.
Now, I got to tell you, because when she came into the door, it's like she was grinning like a Cheshire cat, because I knew that we were going to talk about this village, because she had started to hint on it when she was here last. And now it's starting to look like reality.
It really is. We have the land identified. I can't quite like say the address. I can tell you it is right in the middle of town in Warrenton, Virginia, so in Fauquier County. And we never expected that. We thought we would have to be kind of out in the country somewhere, because, you know, when you go in town, the price on the land goes up. But we have a beautiful piece of land right in the middle of Warrenton that the deal is almost inked. And that's what the architects have been drawing and doing all the plans on.
And so as you get ready to close in on this, it's like there's chapter one. All right. And now we move to chapter two.
Village two.
Village two. All right. So when do you expect to start, busting up and digging?
That's a great question. But to go to your point on village number two, to do what we're doing and to get funding for it, we had to do what's called a market study. And it was rather, I knew the issue was there because I was getting calls from veterans that, you know, needed housing. But I had no idea to the extent. They did a market study and they say we need at least 450 units in our area, just for seniors, just to meet the needs for seniors.
Wow.
So, and there's nothing in the pipeline. That was another part of the study, is they had to look, well, we can't let her build this village when someone maybe is building a 200 unit apartment complex. There's nothing in the pipeline and we need at least 450. And that's what's driving the rents up, right? When people are clamoring to get that one open rental, the landlords can jack up the price.
The money just speaks, boy, dollar signs.
Right. That's why we need more units, and happy to be a part of creating more units. And we need, probably we could do with a village in every county, to tell you the truth.
Well, that'll be your next topic. It's like, getting that village in every county. So because once you get this first one started, it's just going to be a snow roll.
Well, I hope so. And I hope people can come walk through it and see what an amazing example. That's really what we're trying to build, whether it's Heroes Bridge building the next village or some other entity that's like, wow, this is a great idea. We're happy to just build this first kind of footprint for it so people can see it. But to answer your question about breaking ground, it looks like we're probably about 6 months from the earth movers showing up and doing everything, because we have some legal work. The town has been super receptive. They understand the need for units. They saw the market study. But there just is some paperwork that has to be gone through.
This is still, it's still a very expensive commodity. I mean, again, it's not free. Do you get enough donations? Do you get enough grants to be able to handle all this?
It's looking promising that we are about halfway to the goal. And I don't have the exact budget. I get it tomorrow, actually, after we requested those revisions. It changed the budget a little bit. But our back of the napkin figures with engineers and architects, we're looking like we're about halfway to our goal. Which is a good place to be 6 months before you've even broken ground.
Sure,
people really love this concept. People don't want to see our seniors living in squalor.
We don't. Not only do we not want to see our seniors living in squalor, we don't want to see our senior military living in squalor, because it's like they put their job up. They put it up on the table. Now we've got to look out for them and return the favor.
Yeah, thank you for saying that. If we're going to start anywhere, it should be with them, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. When I had you in here, I knew that there was something special about you. And when we started talking, I could see your eyes start to twinkle when you started talking about a village. All right, so you're going to get some preliminary information tomorrow, and then what do you do?
Well, so we should have everything we need to go to the town for the application for the project. That's about a 2 to 3 month process. And once that is approved, then we work with the engineers and the architects for the actual earth moving and the 3 month plan to really get the site ready. I think what we really need from people is, first of all, to follow the project.
Again, and if you go on their Facebook page or you go online, it's like you can, once she's gotten the pictures, you'll get to see a little bit more of what reality we're talking about.
Right. As soon as we're allowed to share them, as soon as they're finalized, we cannot wait to share them with the public. So, yes, online, go on and sign up for our newsletter. You'll also get any like breaking news alerts about the approvals for the village. So we would love to have people follow us.
All right. So what about those? You know, let's look ahead. You've already broken ground. We're going to step ahead here. You're starting to put units in. Then you're starting to talk about, oh, wait a minute. Now we got to make sure we have something so that if a veteran has a question, they can just come right here. Community service room.
Right. Yeah. Our community center will be staffed with volunteers, and our actual Heroes Bridge offices will be within the village too. So all of us that actually work with our veterans every day will be right there on site. And that's a huge blessing. You know, up until now, we serve about 450 veterans across a multi-county area, and we drive to see they're all in their own homes. So it's going to be really nice to have a place to bring our most in need into the same little community where we're all right there.
Absolutely. Again, it's an ambitious project, but I'll tell you what, I can see the pride in which you're taking. Tell me about your background, because I know that you're a military brat.
I am a Marine Corps brat at that,
oh,
yeah.
All right. But you also studied nursing.
Yeah. So I grew up in rural Missouri. My father retired out of the Marine Corps, did two tours of duty in Vietnam, and moved us to the middle of nowhere. I think a lot of veterans do that after service. They kind of want to be left alone. I grew up a good life. It's good being raised by a Marine, got taught a lot of good work ethic and values, and decided very early to go to nursing school. So went to nursing school, was a nurse by the time I was 21, but chose to specialize very early on in gerontology, which is the care of older people. I don't know why that was what God put on my heart, but it's always what I loved. So that's what I've done, and that's how I landed kind of founding Heroes Bridge 6 years ago. Just like you said, I hate that any of our seniors are living in poor conditions, but because of my father's service, I think seeing the older veterans suffer was just extra difficult.
And it's because, number one, they're of a different generation. They're not meant to, they're not going to let you know that they're not feeling good. They're not going to let you know that they've got problems. It's like they're of a generation that, hey, listen, I can handle it. I can handle it. And sometimes you can't.
Absolutely. It is rarely ever the veterans themselves that call Heroes Bridge for help. Rarely. It's almost always the hospitals, social services, churches, some families and friends that just happen to know there's a veteran down the street that lives alone. So it's hardly ever them that ask for help. You're right. They will just sit there and kind of suffer in silence.
And Molly, like I say, because I'm so tight with the veteran, I do know. And they do need to talk. Sometimes they just need an ear. They don't want you to solve any problem for them. They just want you to listen.
Right. And that's where our Battle Buddy program comes in. We do serve a lot of lower income veterans with a lot of social needs. But there's a whole nother half of our veterans that actually kind of do okay financially. But boy, they need a friend. They need a Battle Buddy. They need someone to talk to, just to stop every couple weeks and ask if you need anything. It's one of the most special things we do.
It's amazing how simple things we're talking about, just simple things, checking in on somebody can make a world of difference in their life and yours. That's the thing of it. Because, again, you can't work around these folks without learning something and understanding where they're at.
Yeah, we hardly ever lose volunteers. When people start working with Heroes Bridge or volunteering, they kind of just stay with us. In fact, there was a point earlier on where we actually had more volunteers than we had veterans. People were calling like, I want to work with these older veterans. And we had to be kind of like, well, we'll have to wait till we get a couple more calls about them. It's not that way anymore. We meet about 10 to 15 new veterans every month. We're kind of doubling our numbers every year. So now we need all the volunteers we can get.
Again, if someone feels it in their heart. And volunteerism is, it is a great calling, because it's amazing, the amazing effect that you can have on somebody. Somebody wants to volunteer to maybe help you out.
There are so many options. You can be a battle buddy, but then there are other things, giving rides, changing light bulbs, you know, just like, there's just so many opportunities with Heroes Bridge to be in an older veteran's life across five counties. So you can go to heroesbridge.org. There's a tab on there, a button that says volunteer. It'll click through and you just fill out a simple form and then we'll contact you back. Or if the internet isn't your thing, you can just call us at 540-341-5378.
My guest this morning, Molly Brooks, CEO of Heroes Bridge, which of course deals with, well, of course, some of the most special people in the world are veterans. And they're getting older, just like we all are. And as they're getting older, they're coming up with the very same problems that everybody else has. They're slowing down. They can't travel as much. They don't see as well. They might need a little help around the house. And that's where Heroes Bridge comes in, huh?
That's it. And that's another reason we're so excited about the village. One thing I didn't share earlier were some of the aging in place features and the veteran specific features that we've built into the concept. So the entire village will be zero step. So no steps.
Right off the bat.
Yeah. So zero step. And then also just some really good finishing touches like lower countertops. All of the light switches will be like the lever kind instead of the smaller kind. Right. The doorknobs will be levers. So we really did a lot of research on what do people that are aging and kind of getting worse every day instead of better, what do they need to be able to stay where they're loved and in safe and clean housing? And then the veteran-specific touches, I think we kind of angled the cottages so that no one's looking into anyone else's porch or their windows, because veterans can be kind of funny after PTSD.
Again, Boogie comes to my house every day. He has been at my house. I've been in this house, I think, 15 years. And he still comes in. It's like, and I usually have the shades drawn because I'm not nosy. No, he's got to have that window open so he can see what's going on.
Yeah.
If he hears a noise. It's like, and I learned that early on. You know, again, it's like I used to tease him about it. Like, hey, you mean you're a crackhead? Like, I'll be peeking out the window. But it's because he needs to know.
Yes.
And if you've ever traveled with Boogie, he is very well aware of his surroundings. And that is, of course, from his training in Vietnam.
Absolutely.
And it's stuck with him. And it's like, and you know, again, you can't, you know, where you might come up on some people, go, hey, and slap him on the back. You don't want to do that to Boogie.
Yeah. Because, yeah. He shared that with me. He shared that actually when he was younger, he had, some problems at a couple of jobs because there were people that had never been to war and didn't understand. And they would do exactly
come
that.
Come there and just slap him on the back and he'd turn around and tag him.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
So, I mean, that's, that, but there again, knowing that, and it took me a while to learn those things, and that's where people are not understanding. It's not that they're just all curmudgeon and that they're evil. It's because they're pretty much preoccupied in their thought process.
Right. It's what happened to them. There's actually some studies that show that when you came back from Vietnam, it took you a few years, but you may have assimilated and learned to adjust. But then when you start getting in your older years, some of it starts coming back and they haven't really figured out why, but some of those things kind of start coming back up again. So we did try to be really intentional with the village design, with the angling of the cottages, no windows like facing on anybody else's windows, a lot of like really peaceful landscaping, the community center where we can bring them together and socialize and talk about old war stories when they want to do that.
All right. Now, when you're talking about the village, are you going to actually have members of staff who will be living in the village?
So we are, we do have one home that's about 800 square feet that we're calling the respite house. So what we envisioned is there might be times where staff or volunteers may want to stay in the village. Say there's a bad storm coming.
Right.
Or
snowstorm.
Yes. Or one of the veterans isn't doing well. Or, you know, there's many reasons that we may want to, maybe over Veterans Day weekend, we want to be there on site with them as they're kind of processing old memories. So We actually did build one house that was a little bit bigger for volunteers or staff to stay in when we need to. And also, we thought it would really be neat that same house could be used for veterans that have family or grandkids that are visiting. It's kind of hard to host them in a 500 square foot cottage. So we actually built four kind of larger scale houses so that families and friends could perhaps stay when they're visiting.
You have tried to really actually keep in mind every possible solution there, haven't you?
Yeah, we've been, as I said, for the last 2 years, we've tried to be really thoughtful about all of it and hopefully just put a beautiful village that hopefully can be replicated across the country.
And I think that that's the, a perfect idea, because here's the thing. They're veterans, so they're not babies. They've had a probably bit of a tough life, especially if they were in Vietnam. And now they're getting older, so you add all the other things that come along with getting older. And now you've got a beacon. You've got a beacon for some people to go so that they can look and say, okay, hey, I'm safe here. I can open up here. They understand me.
Right. One of our things that we knew very early on, we're going to have a big sign when you enter the village that says welcome home, because a lot of our Vietnam veterans, most of our Vietnam veterans never got that welcome home when they came home. So when they drive into that village for the first time and then every time thereafter, we want them to know you're home, we welcome you, and this place is different.
You know, when I talk to Boogie, because it's like we talk all the time, and you know, one of the things that got to him when he came on shore, was somebody spit on him. He couldn't understand that. He was doing his job.
Yeah, it's heartbreaking.
And that makes a movement, man. It's like, and that still angers me. It angers me because, like I say, it's not like he wanted to go 10,000 miles and fight.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's heartbreaking and maddening to think of. And I think, you know, what do we do about that now? You know, 50, 60 years later, it is exactly be a battle buddy. You change a light bulb, mow someone's yard.
It's, anything that you can do to make someone else's life just a little bit easier. You know, you say change a light bulb. Well, you'd be amazed. It's like if I go into my house, I got to bring out a stepladder, and it's like, and I'm handicapped as it is, but on the same token, I do it. But if somebody were going to come in and do it, man, I'd be so grateful I wouldn't know what to do.
Absolutely, and it's an easy thing to do. So that's, I think, all we can do to make amends now is now that they're getting older to be there this time.
Well, Molly, it's like I'm going to make sure that we stay on top of this one, because when you started to talk about the village, I thought, I wonder how far this is going to go. And now here, it's like, you know, we're about to just open the door and see this thing come to fruition.
Yeah, you guys are going to see drawings pretty soon and breaking ground pretty soon. And I knew it was very ambitious, but never underestimate the daughter of a Marine or a Vietnam veteran.
All right. Now, Molly, listen, the program's coming to a close here, and I really do. You're not going to make me wait a year to talk to you again.
I think we're going to have to come back when we have those drawings and when we get close to breaking ground.
There you go. Again, like I say, the village, they're going to be breaking ground in the next 6 to 8 months. It's like it is something that is going to help out a group of people who they never asked, but they needed help.
Yeah.
And now you're going to provide it to them. And I want to be so much a part of that. I can't stand it, Molly.
I can't wait to show it to you.
My guest this morning, Molly Brooks, CEO of Heroes Bridge. This is your last shot here. Go ahead and make the pitch for Heroes Bridge and what you want to do and how they can help you.
Well, to help build the village, we need all the support we can get. Follow us on our newsletter and online on Facebook, because we think that this project's going to flow through the town approvals and all of that pretty quick. But we may need the public to come out and say, no, we need this for our senior veterans. So please follow that news story. And also financially, we're about halfway to our goal. There is a tab on our website at heroesbridge.org where you can donate, and the funds go only to the village.
Again, this is a 501c3 charity, so it's like your donations are tax deductible.
They are, and you can put it right where it's restricted to the village. We can't use it for anything else. And there's also kind of a fun brick program. If you want your name on the village or the name of a veteran you love, you can order. There's three different sizes of bricks. That's kind of a fun way to support the village.
Again, if you want to get a hold of the folks at Heroes Bridge, Molly?
It's heroesbridge.org, or you can call us at 540-341-5378. We're also very active on Facebook.
My guest this morning, Molly Brooks. And Molly, again, I'm just grinning like a Cheshire cat because I am so proud of what you've been able to do over the last year. And I can't wait until see the next step.
Thank you, JD. You've been so supportive over the last few years.
Well, there's a reason for it. Number one, you're a nurse. I told you, my mom was a nurse. My daughter's a nurse. Daughter's mom is a nurse. So it's like I got the nursing thing.
Love it.
Again, and you just keep in touch with us. That is Local Issues Real People for this week, brought to you by Rappahannock Electric Cooperative, REC, reliable, affordable, and focused on community. If you know a vet, if you are a vet, you want to make sure you listen to this one again. For Local Issues Real People, I'm JD Slade.